To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcast and join me for the story behind the song.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set.
Bora hey, Iconic Army.
Bora hey.
I have two words for you. Autumn leaves.
Say no more.
Oh my god. MetLife Day 2 got Autumn Leaves as one of the surprise songs. And like, I have never wanted to be at a concert more in my entire life.
Me either.
Like,
me either.
Like, seriously. And some of our wonderful iconics were there and got to experience it firsthand, which we're so, so happy for them. But I like am asking myself, I know we had Pied Piper in Tampa.
I know.
And which like we're so lucky and grateful for, but it's like if you could have Pied Piper or Autumn Leaves, for me, I'd have to say Autumn Leaves. Like
I think it's Autumn Leaves for me too. I mean, I really wanted Pied Piper, and I don't know where in my BTS memory did I just kind of forget about Autumn Leaves. But when you put it, when you put those songs side by side, I'm like, of course I would want Autumn Leaves over Pied Piper.
Oh
but
gosh.
I don't know, like they're both so good. But like, no, when you texted me that MetLife, that they ended up getting Autumn Leaves as their surprise song, I was like, we deserve a partial refund. Like, I do not. This is so unfair. Like, I truly am so envious of all of the ARMYs that I got to experience
yeah.
that live. Like, BTS of today and the vocal line and the rap line performing this freaking song. Are you kidding me?
The song is 11 years old.
Wow.
I don't even know the last time they would have performed it. And
yeah.
I mean, yes, exactly. Like, BTS 2026 vocals, like, performing
such
this
clean
song.
Freaking
oh
vocals
my
performing
God.
The. Honestly, very, like, I think the skills needed for the vocal part of Autumn Leaves is, like, out of this world. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
With BTS being so well-seasoned at this point and their vocal abilities are even better than when this song came out, like, hearing Jungkook and Jimin and Jin and Taeyang doing the vocal parts of this song is so strong. And it was just, like, they just sang it one time, you know, and when it's been, like, 8+ years probably since they sang it last. Are you kidding me? Oh, you guys are so lucky. So now lucky.
I feel like my life will not be fulfilled until I can hear it live now. Like, and it probably will never happen. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm so distraught over it.
You know, they put in Not Today on the set list for this world tour. So who's to say that Autumn Leaves maybe
can't come back?
A girl can dream.
Yeah, a girl can dream. I mean, I will be dreaming
forever.
Put it
on the set list.
I literally, like, I saw the news at like 9:30 last night, and like, you know, I just, oh gosh, I'll just never be over it. When I discovered Autumn Leaves as a baby ARMY in 2017, like, I listened to it on repeat for a week straight. Like, I just have always loved it, always been obsessed. So yeah, so incredible that they performed it, and just very happy for all the ARMY that got to experience it live and will just live vicariously through them and the videos that are posted online.
Wait for them to kick off the second part of their North America tour.
Oh my gosh. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, they are coming out with a bang, and they already did an amazing job on their first leg of the North American tour. We're so happy that they're back here, and hopefully just, you know, all of the ARMYs that are going to the concerts are just going to have an incredible time. I also have to talk about that Park Jimin is back with his silver hair.
Yes.
Like, the blonde is no more. It is still long and luxurious, but it is silver.
Blood, sweat, and tears silver.
Like, blood, sweat, and tears silver. We are ushering in a new era. Like, if you thought the blonde Jimin was, like, fairy, fantasy, romanticy, like, beautiful, like, I mean, this, like, silver hair Jimin is going to destroy us all with the long hair. Like,
both are phenomenal. Really like, I enjoyed the golden hair, though, I gotta be
honest. I love the golden on him. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But... oh,
the Park Jimin effect.
The Park Jimin effect. So, SOS. we have a lot to talk about with BTS today, so we are excited to get into it with you all.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we are talking all about how BTS have denied the Grammys. You guys have probably all been hearing about it. We've been dying to talk about it with you guys. So we're going to get into just kind of how this went about, their Instagram stories, all of the news and press that's been released about it and media coverage. And we're just going to go into what this really says for BTS. And I think we just have to lead with that we are so proud and we are so supportive of this decision.
Yeah, very excited to talk about, like, our thoughts about this and what this means for BTS and the statement that they're making here. Before we get too much into it, we just want to say thanks, Iconic, so much for being here, for listening, and for all of your support. Truly, it means everything to us. It's why we do what we do. So we appreciate that you're here. If you'd like to support us any extra, you could join us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingBTS.
Yeah, thanks for being here, for all of your support, and of course, for listening.
Okay, so let's talk about how all of this transpired. It started with all 7 BTS members posting on their Instagram stories the same exact message. And they posted this on July 29th, which is allegedly a reference to number 29 on their album, where the bell rings and then it rings out into silence, which is also just, like, impactful. It's a major, like, mic drop moment, you know? They all posted the same exact message, which we feel shows a lot of unity. The message translates to, "We decided not to submit for this year's Grammys. We wish for our music to be heard and loved simply as music rather than being categorized by region or language. Thank you to ARMY and everyone who is always with us." So clearly this message, this statement, is in response to the new category that was created and announced in June for Best Asian Pop Music Performance. What really stood out to us about this message, not just that they all posted the same thing at the same time, but they posted it fully in Korean, you know, to say, like, this is who we are. Most of the members did just a black screen, but RM posted it with a photo of his 2.0 outfit, and it feels purposeful about how they're coming out brand new, just with this, like, reference to their 2.0 music video, which, of course, pays homage to the iconic Korean film Old Boy the whole time, and just like really making that statement, like, we are iconic, like, we do have a huge following, like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you're not giving us the right time of day now, but just, you know, we will go down in history and people will look back and be like, wow, that group. Yeah, I just think that it's very purposeful that he posted that picture.
I think it's totally purposeful that he posted that picture. Like you were saying, this is their 2.0. This is their brand new version of themselves. And their past selves, I think, were catering a little bit more towards getting that Grammy and trying to fit right. that mold a little bit. And I just can appreciate that he's using the 2.0 song reference here of like, this is the new version of ourselves and we're not going to cater to you. And like, right. this is who we are. And we stand by it. And so, yeah. And I think what's funny, too, is it's like the silly kind of costume part of mm-hmm. the 2.0 music video where they're wearing like wigs and sunglasses and looking kind of like ridiculous. And there's a level of just, is satire the right way to put it?
I don't yeah, know how to say I think it, so, you know? Too. Yeah.
Like kind of mockery in a
I
way.
Do think there's some mockery in it. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he's holding a newspaper, too, which is like, mm-hmm. here's some big news for you.
I didn't think about that. It is some hot news, that's for sure. Yeah, like you said, all of the members really had just like black screens and they posted the exact same message. But Taeyong did have a different screen for his. And his was actually with the statement. He had a picture of his like master rank in League of Legends. And to me, I thought this was particularly funny because if I were the Grammys, this would annoy the shit out of me. You know, like he basically, I mean, he could have just a black screen, whatever, but he's, I think he was more putting more emphasis on like, look at my ranking in League of Legends. Like this matter. I want you to see this and care about this more than my statement about the Grammys, which is not necessarily true, but he's like, it just seems like he doesn't care.
It's like this matters more to me than the Grammys does. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I just think it's fantastic. And yeah, going back to what you were saying of how they went about delivering this message where it came from them, it didn't come from the company, it was all the same message. We kind of have seen multiple translations. And I think, Kayla, you found a translation that was maybe a little bit more accurate of it's not just them saying we decided not to submit for this mm-hmm. year's Grammys, but a lot of them say like, I wish that our music or wish for our music to be heard and loved simply as music. So the use of I makes it definitely more personable and that yeah. like they all agreed upon this and that they all put it out in the same way, same message, just shows the unification of the group right now yeah. in this decision.
Right. And I love that they on their individual pages posted it instead of it being like the BTS Big Hit official page posting it mm-hmm. or like HYBE releasing a statement or, you know, just like they could have just released like a press note to media and the media could have run with it. But the fact that the members did it themselves like shows that they're in control of mm-hmm. the decisions of what they do and how they do it. And it's even more powerful that it's coming from each individual member, but it's a united front. So
yes,
I think it makes yeah. such a impactful statement here.
Yeah. And they did it on their story too, which is only yeah. up for 24 hours. So.
Right. Yeah. I love it. I love it so much. I can't say that either of us predicted that this was going to happen, but I do mm-hmm. remember in June when it was announced that the Grammys created this category, this new category for best Asian pop music performance. I remember like rolling my eyes so hard and like mm-hmm. saying to Jeremy, like they're trying to pigeonhole BTS into this category. Like BTS are back this year. Like I just remember ranting to him about it. Like they've been gone mm-hmm. in military service and on hiatus for like the past 4 years. They had all this time that they could have already created and had this category, but no, they wait for the year that BTS comes back and like are dominating the music industry as mm-hmm. far as sales and tour and streaming. Like they're the number one in all of those categories, and this mm-hmm. is the year that the Grammys create this new category to literally put them into. And so I just remember being annoyed about that and just like seeing the writing on the wall, basically, which is why I'm proud of BTS for taking this route and deciding not to submit. But it made us think about other controversy that has come up with the Grammys in regards to creating more categories. And the Grammys will say that it's like a way to celebrate more music, which on one hand, I very much understand. But on another hand, it's like separating them out to make it harder for them to get like the bigger, more main awards by siphoning them off. It's marginalizing. Exactly. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about like the history of the urban, rap, and R&B categories, because when these categories have been created, like urban music, best urban music album, best rap album, best R&B, you know, as those categories were created, they also got the same type of pushback from fans and from artists themselves saying like, hey, like, you know, I appreciate being nominated, or like, we're glad that our favorite artist is like up for a Grammy, but why couldn't they be considered for album of the year or song of the year, you know, artist of the year? And so a good example of this is Tyler, the Creator. He won best rap album for Igor in 2020. And he had a lot of feelings about this. And while he admitted that he was very grateful for the win, he went on to say, and I just love this quote from him because I think it really hits the nail on the head. He said, "It sucks that whenever we, and I mean guys that look like me, do anything that's genre bending or that's anything, they always put in a rap or urban category. I don't like that urban word. It's just a politically correct way to say the N-word to me. When I hear that, I'm just like, why can't we be in pop? Half of me feels like the rap nomination was just a backhanded compliment. Like, it's like my little cousin wants to play the game. Okay, let's give him the unplugged controller so he can shut up and feel good about it. That's what it felt like a bit." And I just think that's so true. It's like, sure, like, yeah, we'll, you know, we'll throw you a bone. We'll, like, give you a seat at the table. It's going to be down there at the end of the table. And, like, you're going to get served last. And you're going to get, like, you know, like, not as good of a treatment. But, like, sure, like, we'll let you come to our party, you know? That's totally what it feels like.
It doesn't feel like full participation. It doesn't feel like they're being... Yeah, like being nominated, yeah, grateful for it, whatever. But like, why are we not being nominated in the pop category as well? Right.
Right. Or it's like it literally being segregated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Especially when he felt his album fit a pop category better, or like being genre bending, like, so just because he's black, you're gonna put him in the rap album, you know? Like, yes, Tyler, the Creator does create rap music, but a lot of his music bleeds into multiple different genres, just like BTS. And when creators are like being put into one, you know, it's not like a one size fit all, but the way that the Grammys allows people to be nominated feels very pigeonholy, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I honestly can appreciate his analogy too of the like unplugged controller, because I think it just really paints a very clear picture of how it is unfair, and that he's just not being treated the same by being put into or pigeonholed into this kind of category.
Totally.
Yeah. So we not only see it with the Grammys, but there's also a history of the Oscars doing something like this as well. Maybe not to this degree, but it's been circulating about the creation of the best animation film or best animation movie. It's a good parallel because it just kind of shows this common trend among like U.S. award shows where the Oscars are a more prestigious film award show, and they created an animated category out of fear of Shrek winning best film, because how could this silly animated film about an ogre win best film? But it has such a cultural impact that they couldn't ignore its impact and the numbers and the box office and all of that. So they ended up creating an animated best animated film.
And
I feel like it doesn't segregate as much in the sense of, you know, like best urban artist, you know, that's like very
right. It's not overt. As glaring. Yeah.
Yes. But same kind of thing. And I think the Grammys are known for snubbing artists and having their favorites, and their favorites are usually white artists. And so thinking about just like the history of award shows in America and stuff, it made me think a lot about the AMAs this year. And we covered the AMAs back in May when they attended, BTS attended the AMAs, and they were, again, not only there in person, but they ended up winning Artist of the Year, and they had their Hooligan performance from their concert play as one of the performances for the show. And we thought it was so interesting that BTS attended the AMAs simply because this award show is smaller in comparison to some of the other award shows, and major artists like Ariana Grande, Taylor Swift, and BTS typically don't go to these award shows. However, like, BTS went this time, and now hearing all this news with the Grammys, I'm like, you know what? I bet that they knew back then that they weren't going to submit for a Grammy. I bet they already knew it. And so they thought, you know, let's not only just deny the Grammys, but let's go attend the American Music Awards, grant them our presence over the Grammys. And I just think that that is such a power move. Like, I really think that that could have been a part of why they went to the AMAs. In our episode when we covered it, I'm like, man, did they just do it for the nostalgia? Because I had the nostalgia. I was like, man, yeah. I became a brand new ARMY right when they were going to the AMAs. And that was like their first invitation to an American Music Award show. And it was a big deal. And they performed DNA. Like, it was so exciting.
It was huge.
And
I
remember like thinking, oh, they're on American soil. Like, I just was so over them. I mean, I threw a party. We've talked about it. But so I was like super excited that they were at the AMAs. But I did think like, oh, they're kind of above this, or, you know, they've been invited. They've won so many awards there. Like, eventually artists aren't able to make it. And they went. And now I just really think that they're like, you know what? This quote on smaller, less important award show, who granted them that title? I don't know. But we're going to go ahead and attend and grant them our presence. And I feel like they're giving the AMAs even more of a boost in that, like, they're fan voted and they treat their artists equally. So anyways, I thought it was a power move, and it just made me think and reflect on that.
No, totally. Because the one thing that I thought about that too, when they attended, was like, wow, I'm surprised that they went, because they're kind of like squeezing it into their schedule right here. Like, they had just finished up their shows in Vegas, and like, you know, they had to go on to their next city very soon. Like, I just was surprised that they were packing in their schedule like that, because it does seem like on this tour, they've been giving themselves breaks and giving themselves downtime. So yeah, I could totally see them attending the AMAs as like one part nostalgia, but also that they knew that they weren't going to submit to the Grammys and wanted to show, like, this is the award show that, like, we really feel that we want to give our time and, like, our attention to. And, like, how many BTS fans tuned into the AMAs because BTS were there, or watched, you know, parts of it post, you know, show online. And honestly, like, you were talking about with the Oscars, you know, how it's like a prestigious film award show. And that's kind of how we see, like, the AMAs versus the Grammys. Like, the Grammys are seen as the most prestigious music award show. However, the way that the Grammys are voted for is by a recording academy of like 15,000 people, which is, to me, a very small number of people if you compare that to like the US population, who are actually consuming the music that we're listening to here in the States and in North America. And often what the Grammy Recording Academy votes for doesn't truly reflect what is the truest popular music in the States. Whereas the AMAs, because they are fan voted, usually when you see the winners of the AMAs, you're like, you agree with them. Like, they totally make sense, because you're like, yeah, I know that artist. I know that artist. They've been having an amazing year. That song is incredible. Like, it makes sense why they got that, because we agree with, you know, that, you know, it feels like this is the popular music right now. This is the music that was deserving of it, as opposed to sometimes like really niche artists or winners. Not to say that niche artists don't deserve like recognition at, you know, a larger scale too. But when it comes to these bigger categories, we want to see the artists that are truly representative this year in 2026 of Artist of the Year, Song of the Year, Album of the Year, and not to see them expected to be like put into this like subgenre, subcategory off to the side to be able to like save space for a bigger artist or a American artist, a white American artist or something. I also want to talk about the creation of the Latin Grammys. They were created in the year 2000, and to give you just some reference, the original Grammys have been around since 1959, and I don't know if you know, like, Selena Quintanilla, you know, she was, like, rising in the 90s, and so there was chat of creating, she was like topping the charts in the States as a young artist, and there was talk ever since like 1989, 1990 of creating a Latin Grammys to separate Latin artists away from white American artists to put them in their whole different award show.
A whole different award show is what is bizarre to me about it. Not even just a different category, a whole different award show.
Right. So as Latin artists like Shakira, Carlos Santana, Luis Miguel, Marc Anthony, and so many more were continuing to climb the charts in the States, the Grammys sought a way to keep their awards, quote unquote, safe and make a separate place for Latin artists. So like I have, you know, you can hold two things. Like it is amazing that Latin artists can shine through Latin Grammys, and the Latin Grammys like stretch all the way through Central and South America to celebrate artists from all over, you know, the Spanish speaking world. But at the same time, it now makes it so hard for them to be recognized at the original Grammys and to make it to that stage, because they're like, well, you just go over there, you know? That's why, like, last year when Bad Bunny was at the Grammys and, like, won awards there with his album, it was such a big deal because he was the first Spanish-speaking artist to do that ever. And, you know, like, it's super rare that a Spanish-speaking artist is like getting a Grammy because of the Latin Grammys. So it's again just like another way that the Grammys as a system are like othering people when they want to preserve like the whiteness of their own award show.
Yeah, absolutely. And going off of just like that whiteness, it raises a lot of questions for people now of why not a best British pop performance or best European pop performance or pop song or pop album? Like, it, you know, if you're going to make the argument it's an American award show, well, there are many, many white non-American artists who are winning these top four major categories like Album of the Year. So yeah, it just is rooted in white supremacy. I think it's pretty overt and kind of crazy just to see today. Like, why is this still happening? And like, how can you possibly ignore it? And I do think that like Bad Bunny winning was huge. That was major.
Incredible. Yeah.
Progress, whatever you want to call it. But I feel like, BTS have been so wronged previously by the Grammys, and we'll get into this a lot more, but we just really don't think that they have caught up to the cultural impact, and I don't think that they can appropriately recognize them. And that creation of this best Asian pop performance was clearly created for them. And I have no doubt that they were going to grant them that award for whatever swim or something, but I just, they deserve to be in the category of best album of the year with Arirang. That's where they are meant to be.
Exactly.
And they know, it's like they know it, but they just can't do it.
Right.
And they have, they got to work through that. And someone's got to tell them that they can't be doing that. They got to do better. So anyways, this is where things get really interesting is, after all of this, not even 24 hours went by after their Instagram posts that the Grammys responded. So the CEO, Harvey Mason Jr., posted his response to his Instagram or to the Grammys Instagram saying, quote, I'm saddened to hear that BTS has chosen not to participate in the Grammy Awards process this year, but as a music creator, I understand and respect their decision. And we just know that this response, I mean, it just shows they've never responded to an artist like this before right. for not submitting. But it just really shows how much they were hoping for those views from ARMY, and honestly really shows how much they wanted BTS to be there. Very clear that they are the best. It's obvious. Everyone knows. After, if you don't fucking know that BTS is the biggest group in the entire world right now, you are literally living under a rock. So for the Grammys, which is supposed to be this prestigious award show for musicians, doesn't have the biggest group in the world at their show, like, yeah, they're freaking hurting from this. And, you know, I can say that his response here was respectful, but we'll keep going into more of what he said. But I just feel like there's a lot of it's a little hypocritical.
Yeah. And honestly, like, the Grammys views over the past few years have been on a consistent decline. So mm-hmm. I bet they were really hoping for those views from ARMY to tune in.
Yeah.
Because we would have all been watching, of course, if BTS were there. Okay, so he goes on to say, I do want to clarify something that seems to be getting lost in the conversation. The Asian pop category was created to celebrate the depth, diversity, and extraordinary growth of the pop artistry coming out of Asia. Which, again, is like, why did you never create a best European pop genre then? Because mm-hmm. you could say the same thing for, you know, Dua Lipa and Ed Sheeran and Adele. Like, mm-hmm. why was it never an issue before then, you know? He goes on to say, the spirit of this new category is to shine a dedicated spotlight on these important artists. More categories mean more artists' work is recognized. It's never to divide, but to expand who is recognized by our 15,000 Grammy voters. To me, honestly, like, his getting lost in the conversation comes off a little bit condescending and a little mm-hmm. bit like defensive. Like, this is definitely, I feel like him making this whole statement is like to save face for the Grammys mm-hmm. and to try to like obviously BTS just like dropped a bomb on like the media with posting this statement, and he feels like, you know, he's on his heels, right? He has to respond.
I'm just thinking of all of the PR teams like freaking out, making phone calls right, after right. they just posted a little Instagram story. Like, I just love it.
And how many people worked on this statement, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we've already kind of talked about our interpretation of why this category was created, but I just feel like what he's really getting at here is he's pretending that separate categories can still mean equal. I don't even think it's equitable to have all these separate categories. Like, mm-hmm. you're not showing equality or equability by creating more and more categories, because you're not truly lifting up those artists if you're not going to consider them equally for, you know, the main like top four categories. So here's some reference that I want to give to why we're so certain that BTS would have just be put in this category and they would have not been considered for like Artist of the Year, Album of the Year, Song of the Year, etc. Like we mentioned, Bad Bunny last year won Album of the Year and Song of the Year this year in 2026. And this year in June, they announced that they created the, quote, Best Latin Song category in response. So instead of, like, if he were to do that again, instead of winning Song of the Year, he would probably have just won Best Latin Song instead of Song of the Year. They're like, mm-hmm. oh, nope. Spanish-speaking song, can't do that. In 2025, Beyoncé won Album of the Year, which surprisingly was her first award in this category, despite her long and incredible career of many, many amazing albums. She famously lost Album of the Year to Adele, and even Adele stood up on the stage and was like, I'm so sorry, Beyoncé, I love you with all my heart, you deserve this album. Like, so she won Album of the Year with, and Best Country Album with Cowboy Carter. And what did they do? The Grammys for the 2026 Grammys this year, they created two categories for Best Country Album, the Best Traditional Country Album for the white people, and then Best Contemporary Country Album for everybody else, because they didn't like that a black woman won that category. Like, mm-hmm. let's just be straight up with it, you know?
The separation of traditional country album and contemporary country album. Like, it's the direct response of a black woman having won, you know, best country album.
Country album.
Like, that, I think, they were just so upset and with that. That they had to create this. It's
which
just
literally
ridiculous.
Is a country album. She's it from is. Texas. Like, this is her heritage as much as it's anyone else's.
Right. And all of the artists that are also featured on this on that album are all country artists. Like, it's just wild.
Stupid. Yeah. Like, the word contemporary here might as well be urban. You know, it's the same thing that Tyler, the Creator, was talking about. In 2024, the Grammys introduced a new category on the show called Best African Music Performance, which is, like, essentially what they're doing here with BTS Best Asian Music Performance, which Tyla won at that time with her hit song Water. Although Tyla was, like, a major breakout artist that year. She was everywhere. Her song was all over the internet. And, like, she was breaking records, and I feel like if that category didn't exist, she would have been a contender for Best New Artist, which she didn't win. But if it wasn't her being pigeonholed into Best African Music Performance, she probably would have had one of the more prestigious awards at the Grammys. And that, at that time, when it was announced, that was met with the same pushback that we as BTS ARMY are giving right now about this new category. So, kind of like we've already touched on, you know, BTS just returned from the military and, you know, they're the most popular artists in the world right now, most album sales, most streams, etc. Like, they could have come back and absolutely swept the Grammys for Artist of the Year, Album of the Year, Song of the Year, like if they were actually considered for those categories. But it seems like, to me, just because of this history I just talked about, it seems like the Grammys saw this, anticipated it, and wanted to prevent that from happening when it comes to BTS. They did not want this Asian pop group to come and win in those categories.
Yeah,
they wanted to put them to the side.
Yeah, and they had time, like you were saying, with all of their military service, they had time to think about this, and they were proactive basically in creating this category, this new category. And it was made for BTS. That's absolutely what it was. They're like, oh, you know what, this will be the year that we finally give BTS a Grammy Award, but you know what, it's going to be under this new category. So no one on the
Recording Academy
Academy, that no one's upset. It's trying to appease them,
like the white supremacy,
right,
systemic racism that permeates this country.
Just I love that we kind of got into just like the history of how other artists have been wronged, and that it was clearly leading to this category was made for BTS, and that they're the likelihood of them being nominated for Artist of the Year is very, very low. And if they were nominated, they would not have won it.
Well, yeah, let's go into the next part of his quote, because it talks about the rules about how you can be nominated.
Yeah. So he wanted to say, quote, I also want to be very clear, submitting music in a genre category such as Asian pop or jazz or country does not exclude an artist from also submitting and being considered in the general field categories, including Record of the Year, Album of the Year, and Song of the Year. He continued saying, quote, those categories remain open to an eligible recording regardless of genre. Recognition in a genre category and recognition in the general field are not mutually exclusive. An artist can absolutely pursue both. And so this quote of the rules is misleading. While any artist can submit for any category, the Grammy rules on the website state that the Recording Academy ultimately gets to choose which categories an artist will be put up for. So while BTS could have submitted for multiple with the creation of this specific, you know, Best Asian Pop Performance category, it seems like they thought that they'd be siphoned into that one. You know, like they really truly wouldn't be able to be eligible for Artist of the Year or
the other ones.
Album of the Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the reason why I think that so strongly is because they had all this time that BTS have been away to make that category, and they haven't. And the year that BTS are back, they make that category. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's literally to make sure that they don't win Artist of the Year, Album of the Year.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's like the optimist in me or what, but like part of me just can't help but to go into the what ifs, of course, of like, you know, maybe this really was the year for BTS to win a major category and opening the doors for like other Asian artists to be in this pop performance. Like that, like this additional category was made for K-pop groups who are up and rising. But that's just not true. We've been wronged by them so many times. You think that I would learn at this point. But
well,
I mean,
honestly, like I would be happy if this category were created for K-pop groups and other like Asian artists that are up and rising.
Yeah.
But the problem is that BTS are past that. They're not up and rising.
No.
Like you've already said, they're the biggest band in the world. Like they deserve to be recognized on that large scale for like the top four categories and not put, you know, siphoned off into one of these side categories. Yeah. And I feel like there's, you and I, we talked a lot about this last night. Just there's so many reasons why BTS are not getting the recognition that they truly deserve with who they are and what their impact truly is. And we feel like there's so many like reasons, right? Think about the fandom. It's largely made up of girls and women. And so we're just not recognized and our music tastes are not seen as important as like a male music taste. When a artist has like a largely primarily female group, it's just seen like, oh, that's just fangirls or whatever, like very easily pushed to the side.
It discredits them. Like for some reason for the Academy, it will discredit the legitimacy of them being eligible for this award because, oh, their fan base is women, fangirls.
Oh, they're just like crazy feral fangirls.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it's
not,
a boy,
yeah.
It's a boy group, you know, like, are they even really that talented? I would guarantee you probably half of the people on the board think that they lip sing because they've never actually been or seen a performance done by BTS. So
right,
how would
they
know?
Don't...
They just assume because they're like, oh, it's a boy group.
Right.
Or it's seven members. Oh, how can seven people possibly all be that talented and sing that well and write their own music and be just that talented? Like, it's impossible. Right. Why are there seven of them? Oh, it's all, they're Korean, you know, like it there's just so many.
Oh, they're
many.
Asian. Oh, they're not.
They're
yeah.
Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just is like, in their mind, they just cannot credit them for being legitimate artists, and it just bothers me so much.
Just looking and listening to their album objectively without thinking about all of those things, but I feel like they bring those things into it, and they also fail to recognize that BTS create their own music and that they write and produce and are very hands-on with their album creation, which I understand in the past with like a lot of boy groups, like when you think about like American boy groups like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys or whatever, no, they probably weren't doing all of that, you know? And like One Direction was never nominated for a Grammy for a lot of the same reasons, you know? But BTS is truly different in that, and I think people don't give them the chance because they don't know that information.
All those prejudice opinions get in the way and cloud them being able to accept them.
Yeah.
And see that. Yeah. So anyways, that was a kind of little tangent there, but while they released this statement, like, yes, it came all professional. Yes, it did not seem like overtly emotional or anything like that. However, the Grammys took down both the Dynamite and Butter performances on their page, which I think says a lot. Like,
crazy.
BTS aren't like, oh, we're boycotting them. Oh, fuck the Grammys. Like, they literally just said, we want our music to be celebrated without being put into a specific genre. Just enjoy it for what it is. And the Grammys can act like they're like, oh yeah, we respect their decision as artists. As a musician myself, I can respect them. But then they go down and they take their Grammy performances of Butter and Dynamite off of their page. Yeah, I think that says it all. And so really good thing that Bangtan TV also has credits of these videos, so you can still find those Grammy performances on Bangtan TV. So there you go.
Oh yeah.
You can still enjoy them because they're great performances.
Yeah, don't need him for, or, you know, don't need to watch it on the Grammys page. We can watch it on BTS's own YouTube page. Yeah. I just thought that was, like, super petty and, like, honestly, like, hilarious and embarrassing for the Grammys to do that. Like, that's not something that they regularly do. It is childish.
Talk about a teenage girl.
Like, really? Like, very, very much. I'm just like, all right, I guess you are hurt, you know?
Yeah. So let's just quickly talk about some of the other artists who've had things to say about the Grammys. I've seen so much of Eminem's interview from September of 2018 that he interviewed with Sway Calloway. It's been circulating so much because he really just hits the nail on the head in this interview of the Grammys process. And keep in mind, this is September of 2018. So this is when BTS had released Love Yourself Her. So like, if we're talking about the grand scale of where BTS is now, they were so much smaller back in 2018 to where they are now success-wise. And so, you know, you could think that in this interview, Eminem is like talking about BTS, but he's not. Like, he's just talking about major artists who have been snubbed at the Grammys. Right. And so in this interview, he stated that the voting system is not real and that the organizer give awards to their, quote, darlings rather than recognizing massive cultural impact or sales. And I just love that he said massive cultural impact, because truly, like, the creation of this whole, like, Asian pop performance, I think, could have been created just out of just the impact of, like, how much this genre and these groups have rose within the light of BTS. I feel like, you know, BTS paved the way, you know? So just the cultural impact, right? Like, K-pop now is like not niche, it's mainstream, right?
Right. And so, which is crazy. 10 years ago, you would have never thought that.
Right. And yeah, just like the impact of their sales too. I mean, world tour, hello, like they are just huge. And so Eminem, he expressed frustration that the Grammys hint to major artists that they might win album of the year just to get them to show up as a selling point, only to snub them. And I just love that he points this out, because it's happened to BTS like 2-3 times at this point, you know. He goes on to say, quote, they're so fucking tone deaf, in reference to the Grammys. He says they're so fucking tone deaf to what is actually going on, but they're not in the sense of, oh, we're going to get Beyonce here, we're going to get Jay here, we're going to say all these names are going to be here and make them believe that they're going to win if they're nominated for something, but then not actually grant them that the Grammy.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a theme for them. And I just am so grateful that BTS are not giving them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. And not submitting themselves to that. Because I remember after like the 2022 Grammys, we were crushed that BTS didn't win. We were, I mean, that episode that we recorded after that.
One of the most angry moments of my life.
Yeah. And because honestly, leading up to the Grammys, the way that the Grammys were promoting BTS and teasing them being there and talking about them being nominated, we really felt like it was their time and that they were going to win. And I bet BTS, as crushed as we were, I mean, I bet they felt it tenfold. I bet they felt exactly like what Eminem is describing here, like where they make them believe, they get the artist there, make them believe that they're going to win just to snub them on like national television on a global scale. Like, not only is it embarrassing, but it's just misleading. It's hurtful, and like, honestly, it's just not right. Like, what, just it's to get not. The shot, just to get the shot of people looking disappointed on TV, you know? This is not okay. And for him to also talk about that, like, rather than recognizing the massive cultural impact or sales, you know, that's what we're talking about with BTS being, you know, they are the cultural movement, right? And they do have, they're the most streamed artists. They're the artists with the most sales right now.
But number one on Billboard Hot 100 continuously. Number one. Yeah.
Aliens is number one on iTunes worldwide right now. Like, worldwide.
Not even a hit track, a random song off the album.
Literally.
When I say but random, they're all not aliens, random, they're all incredible.
Aliens
but
went number one after BTS put out this statement, you know? But it's just like, this, to me, like, Eminem is really exposing that the Grammys tout themselves as the most prestigious award show, but it's really pseudo prestige because it's these, you know, the people that are voting in the Recording Academy are choosing their, like what he said, their darlings, right? It's all politics in the background. And I also really want to think about, like, who are the people that are sponsoring the Grammys? Who are like the people that have commercials during the Grammys? And what's their investment? Who do they want to see win? And how does that affect who's winning? Especially to like continue and maintain this order of like white supremacy that like is being pushed, you know, through the creation of all of these other categories.
I love the use of pseudo prestige because absolutely that's like what it is.
That's how I feel about it. Yeah. On the flip side of this, kind of not contrary, but on the other side of Tyler, the Creator's talk about the Grammy that he won, where he thought he should have been considered for Best Pop, Justin Bieber for the 2021 Grammys submitted his album Changes for an R&B category. Even though, yes, we know Bieber as being traditionally a pop artist, it was put into a pop category by the Recording Academy for that reason. He did not submit to that category, but the Recording Academy chose, no, actually, we're going to put you, white male Justin Bieber from Canada, your pop. His response to that was, to the Grammys, I am flattered to be acknowledged and appreciated for my artistry. I am very meticulous and intentional about my music. With that being said, I set out to make an R&B album. Changes was and is an R&B album. It is not being acknowledged as an R&B album, which is very strange to me. I grew up admiring R&B music and wished to make a project that would embody that sound. So even he's like, why am I being put in a category that really does not fit with this music that I'm submitting? So the Grammys just seem to really, it's almost like they're typecasting. They're typecasting people for the categories that they, when they look at them and think about them and stereotype them, they think that they fit this category better than what the actual artist is saying, this is what my music is.
Yeah, what profile they fit is how they're categorizing them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I think that says a lot that even Justin Bieber, who has been awarded Grammys, to be able to say, hey, like, I made an R&B album and you aren't acknowledging it as that when I know
Justin
it
Bieber,
is.
Justin Bieber, who just performed after BTS at the FIFA World Cup halftime show. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been circulating again, but Forbes wrote an article years ago when BTS had been snubbed at the Grammys. And I just have to say it again because I think it really sums up where BTS are in terms of their stance with the Grammys and where the Grammys are at this point. Forbes said, quote, but as BTS continue smashing records and the Grammys continue to lose relevance, who really needs who? And it's very clear that the Grammys need BTS and BTS do not need them at all. Yeah. And HYBE, like we said earlier, like they could have put out a statement that BTS won't submit, but it was BTS, and HYBE did end up saying that while BTS is like choosing not to submit, that they will allow their other artists to submit. So I'll be kind of curious to see, I'm not going to watch it, but I'm kind of curious to see with this new category who all is going to submit
for it. Who ends up taking it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like what you said earlier about like how it can be a way to shine light on rising artist from Asia that like, you know, to really show them the recognition that they deserve also, because sometimes because BTS are such a big name, like it is harder to give that recognition to the other artists that are also very, very talented and deserving. So like, yes, amazing to lift those artists up and like for HYBE to say like, we'll still submit these artists, but like BTS are just beyond a category like that at this point, you know? So yeah, that's an interesting decision from them. But I think that also shows that this was purely BTS's decision. Like this wasn't something that like Big Hit decided for them. The fact that HYBE is like, hey, by the way, we're still going to submit music. Like even though
and
our biggest
put
group
their
is
other
not.
Other groups on the radar. Yeah.
For sure.
Like,
yeah.
To me, it's a win for HYBE. They're like, you know what? BTS, they don't need to win a Grammy. I mean, they're already so successful. How much more greedy can you be in terms of their success? You know, their goal, and I think we can respect that they have a lot of say in what they get to do, that, you know, maybe HYBE is disappointed that BTS might never get a Grammy. However, this category being made is going to put their other groups more on the map and on the radar. Yeah.
And honestly, I just don't feel like, I mean, obviously, because BTS said they weren't submitting, it's just not a goal for them anymore. Maybe mm-hmm. it was in 2022, but I really think their goals as a group have completely shifted.
Yeah.
Now in this 2.0 era, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just get into all of this. Let's just summarize kind of why we support BTS and the decision. I love that they clearly took the power into their own hands. Putting out the statement and having the power to not submit to the Grammys is more impactful and a larger validation of their success than actually winning a Grammy. Not only are they saying that they don't need the Grammy for validation, but also that they're bigger than the Grammys, and that they got everybody talking about their decision, such as like NPR, CNN, BBC, Billboard, Forbes, like all of these media outlets had so much to say about their little Instagram story that I think they would ever have to say about who ends up actually winning Artist of the Year at the Grammys, you know? Yeah. So I mean, think that says enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was shocked when I saw like multiple CNN national news coverage, like mm-hmm. not just articles, but like fully on air talking about this, you know, mm-hmm. like it's
about an Instagram story.
Yes,
I just can't get past news. That as an Instagram story. Like mm-hmm. it was so informal and so passive that like, oh man, it's just the biggest
iconic
fuck you.
Iconic. Yeah,
it is
absolutely.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was shocked to see like CNN, BBC, NPR, like it's just incredible. And
yeah,
I just admire them for protecting their peace. Like if you ever want to know what protecting your peace is, this is a prime example of it. They
totally
love this album, their art, clearly their group dynamic and functioning is the best it's been in a long time. And I truly believe that whenever they were striving for this Grammy originally is when they started to kind of lose themselves. We've heard RM talk about this with like Dynamite. He still felt like the group was in his hands, but you know, the English singles were really catering towards the Western listener and like the people sitting on the Academy Award board. The Recording Academy. Sorry, I don't know why I cannot get that. But like they were trying to cater to it and they lost themselves in that. They lost who they were. They changed their identity to try to fix the mold that the Grammys have created for that specific, you know, Artist of the Year or whatever. And the truth was is they were never going to fit it. And I think they learned that and they understood that. And they said, you know what, if we're going to come back after military service, then we're going to come back as who we are as a group.
Right.
Stick with it. And they have. They made their best album, I think, to date.
Totally.
It's been hugely successful. And they are not going to put it susceptible into the hands of like the Grammys validation. They don't need
to be mishandled by people who cannot understand it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I think it literally, they have put that album in a bulletproof box.
Hell
that the
yeah.
Grammys cannot fucking hit.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. I love
that
visual.
Cheesy.
Yeah, but no, like I just love this era for them. I absolutely love everything about Arirang. The entire album is so fucking incredible and it deserves all of the recognition in the world. But I absolutely love that BTS is like, we don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need it. We don't. Mm-mm. And also that album breaks the mold in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. Like the types of songs that are on it, some of them, like Hooligan, first time listening to Hooligan, we just felt like it was so off the wall.
Oh
you
man,
know?
We had to absorb. I mean, we were just staring into the
abyss.
Like,
oh my,
what
we loved
we
it,
just...
but we were like, what was that? Yes. But then like by the time you get to the end of the album, like Please and Into the Sun, and like it's just totally a different vibe, like mm-hmm. Like Animals and Normal, and I mean, it's just such a masterpiece that they created, and they truly, like, I think they are so, so proud of what they're doing right now. They know that they don't need the validation, and I just love that their mm-hmm. focus has shifted to
Me too.
We don't need a Grammy, we aren't pursuing it, we don't want it. And mm-hmm. I also agree with you, like it comes from how hard it was when they were pursuing the Grammy, what it did to the group, the mm-hmm. authenticity that it took away from them,
yeah.
from their, you know, like when we listened to, I'm sorry, but Permission to Dance, and we felt mm-hmm. like, this is not them. This mm-hmm. is not BTS mm-hmm. music. It really did not feel like them. And that was a song that they were like, oh, we could get a Grammy with this song. Like, no, you know, because it wasn't authentic and it just, you know, was not good. It wasn't what, you know, they are known for. I'm just so curious on how much debate went on between them behind the scenes of like mm-hmm. if they wanted to submit or, you know, if it would mean that they're like bending or subjecting the album to the opinions of the Academy, like how mm-hmm. they decided and discussed, because clearly they all came to the agreement together. We see that based on how they all posted on their individual Instagrams. But, you know, just like we saw the debate during the BTS documentary on Netflix about like putting the Arirang chorus into Body to Body and how much conversation that was, like it just really makes me imagine what this conversation was like. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some members that were like, let's submit, let's do it. You know, like we can still get our Grammy. But clearly, like eventually they were all convinced and somebody must have had really good points about reasons why not to submit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would just be very, very curious about what that conversation was like.
I'll be curious if we ever get to hear more about that conversation or get to witness it, if it is in a documentary somewhere, or maybe not until decades down the road where they kind of come out with an additional documentary where they really discuss how this decision was made. But what we do know is that ARMY is in complete support of the decision by BTS, and we can see that confirmation with Alien charting at number one on iTunes worldwide. Like we were talking about, like Aliens, the lyrics of that song speak directly to what is going on with the Grammys and how they treated BTS in the past. And so, yeah, I think that ARMY is just so on board with it, and we're so happy and so proud. Like, I just could not be more proud. Like, everything they do, I just am like, wow, I am standing the right group for
Hell
sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, we've seen ARMYs, I think, to kind of end here at MetLife, there were ARMYs with signs saying, like, fuck the Grammys, things like that. But there was one ARMY that went viral at MetLife where on the front it said, like, mucho heart, like something in Korean, BTS, but like right when the camera went on to him, he immediately flipped the sign and it said fuck the Grammys on the back side like a little bait and switch, and it's just perfect and
iconic. Incredible.
It is iconic. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Iconic. Someone said he Trojan horsed the sign, which
very
anyone who's seen the
right
Odyssey
now.
Kayla and I loved the Odyssey, so you know, we kind of loved that comment. But yeah,
yeah.
I'm so happy for them. I'm so proud of them. Yeah, the Grammys is a scam.
Pseudo prestigious award show.
Scammy.
You know, yeah. Support the AMAs, and honestly,
support
like
the AMAs.
We'll support BTS forever, and just, yeah, I'm so proud of them as well. I love them so much. I think that this was an incredible, monumental move for them to make, and I just continue to be excited to see what they'll do in the future.
Yeah, me too. What a great episode. This was fun.
Yeah, this is fun to talk about.
It was one topic, and we could talk about it for over an hour. I could keep talking.
Literally, when we were putting this episode together, we talked for like 2 hours about it. So I'm amazed that we got it done in one. We just had better organized thoughts at this point. Less angry ranting, I think, about the Grammys. But if you enjoyed this episode, or if you have any other thoughts about BTS denying the Grammys or about the Grammys in general, like, let us know. Post your comments to our Instagram post when it goes up, or you can always let us know on the Spotify comments as well. And as always, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.